Hi, thanks for coming along to the TechEd Talks for TechEd New Zealand 2013. I'm Nathan Mercer, Technical Evangelist for Microsoft New Zealand, and I'm with Rick Clowes, who's a Senior IT Pro Technical Evangelist out of Microsoft Corp.
Yep.
And Rick, you know, you've been down here to New Zealand quite a few times now. We love having you here. You're a rock star speaker. Our audience love you.
Sweet ass, bro.
Sweet ass, bro.
I'm learning the
lingo
to try to all figure it out. I'm still don't quite figure it out. Laptop?
Laptop?
Laptop. Like, I don't know. I'll work on that one. So thanks for having me down again. I love it. This is the third time out. I love coming to Tech Ed New Zealand.
And this is probably, out of all the times you've come down, this is probably the one time where so much IT pro technologies are aligned. Cloud OS, System Center, Windows 8.1. Are you excited about all that?
You have no idea, my friend. The amount of innovation that we brought into Server 2012 R2 in the span of 1 year alone is incredible. And obviously, I can't take any credit for it because I'm not on the product teams. But I can definitely reap the benefits, as all of us can now reap the benefits, too, to be able to download it and to try it. The stuff you can do is incredible to change. That's actually came up as a good conversation in both of my sessions so far, has been how fast the speed of change is and how we have to adapt to it. It's no longer that you can kind of sit back and say, oh, this server is going to be my server for the next 3 years, that sort of stuff.
It's quite a change. That release cadence, the IT pros are trying to get their head around that and what it means.
Major changes are taking place on a yearly cycle, if not even faster than a yearly cycle. I mean, even on the cloud side of things, you got new features coming out of Azure every 60 days, potentially, right?
And so, that's interesting about the Azure. You know, we talk about the fact that we're kind of battle hardening our Windows Server product by actually, testing it inside Azure before we release it through Windows Server. And, obviously the virtualization stuff. I mean, do you have like a number one favorite feature in 2012 R2? I know there's so many things.
There's so many things. So what I actually like to focus in an awful lot on is what's going to be most impactful to the audiences. And here in New Zealand and also in Australia and other places where I'm from, like in Canada, being able to have enterprise-grade storage capabilities with commodity hardware. So basically having similar feature sets and similar performance numbers that you would get off of a traditional SAN deployment now on Server 2012 storage spaces with R2 with tiering. Is unbelievable.
And at a fraction of the price of what it would cost to do it traditional way.
Extreme scalability. You don't have to worry about basically growing out of the SAN environment and then be locked into the next vendor for the next particular solution. Just keep on adding on some more stuff. So
I mean, I find when I talk to IT pros, they a lot of them just actually can't believe the number of features, like you say, that we've actually done in 11 or 12 months. And I mean, I guess, here in New Zealand, we're one of the most heavily virtualized countries in the world, as with Australia. We've actually got more, per capita, more virtual hosts deployed than Australia. Why don't you tell us about some of the cool Hyper-V things in there?
Well, again, Hyper-V leverages all the stuff that you can do with the networking, also with the storage side of things. Some of the cool stuff that I found that I've been talking with Ben Armstrong, who's been delivering some sessions here as well, has been something like the simple things like Generation 2 VMs. Not massively impactful, but just the fact that we're leaving behind the legacy of stuff we don't need to have anymore. Yep. I mean, like, when's the last time you actually went in and configured an IRQ setting with DIP
on
that, switches
on your old ISA,
with
like
the
ISA ports.
Bus, but we still simulate that inside of virtualization. It's extra baggage. Yep. Now with Gen 2 VMs that are running Server 2012, Windows 8, 2012 R2, and 8.1, you don't need to have any of that sort of stuff anymore.
So much faster to boot, much more secure boot, UEFI, all those cool things that people have kind of seen on the latest generation of Windows 8 hardware, is some of that stuff's now coming into the Hyper-V platform as well from a VM point of view.
And then you also see now the hardware capabilities that are available in the platform now making its way into the virtual guests. So for instance, virtual RSS for receive-side scaling.
Yeah.
In the past, if you had a heavy network-intensive virtual guest, you'd have a bottleneck that would hit with all the network traffic coming in. Now, with virtual RSS, provided your hardware supports it, the VM guest now support it too, it spreads the load across the CPU, eliminates the bottleneck, and basically allows you just to smooth on stream round through.
Absolutely. Awesome stuff. So, here in New Zealand, as you know, we had a big disaster a couple of years ago with a big earthquake down in Christchurch.
Yeah.
So things like Hyper-V Replica are super, super interesting. And I guess, you know, tell us about a couple of the things there that really helped to make Replica much better. Things like the tertiary.
So Replica, I talked briefly about it in the introduction session earlier on. Again, Ben does a whole session on Replica changes. But in this particular case, we go from a single two-stage. The two things people ask us for, make it so that the interval windows for replication are smaller, so you can do things faster. So now they have the first level of replication can happen in 30 seconds, as opposed to 5 minutes and 15 minutes. The second thing is, we wanted to, mostly for the service providers that are the endpoints of where these replicas happen to be, they wanted to have a third level of replication that could take place, provided you have the proper security credentials. And that allows them to offer you an extra layer of protection. So you can now do disaster recovery between two different data centers in your own premise. And in the past, you'd be locked in and that would be it.
Yeah.
Now you can now take that other guy and then move him off to a hosting provider here within the bounds of us of New Zealand in the South Pacific area, and not have to worry about where your data happens to be stored,
sure,
because it's all on your local provider.
Yeah.
And then have that third level of protection that's up there. And the best part is orchestrating that all together with Hyper-V Replica Manager, HRM, up in Azure, talking to System Center, that basically allows you to identify all the different machines, identify the rules, the regulations for when you flip the switch, what happens to be moved over, what gets turned on, and then basically an automated process goes through and runs it.
It's pretty cool. And I guess you can use Azure as a recovery point to actually back up to as well, right? That's one of the features too.
If you needed to, it's available there. It's your choice. If you want to go off and scale out to the public cloud, you're more willing to be able to do that.
Yeah. So, you talked about storage, you know, dedupe, live dedupe of running VHDs. Yeah. That's pretty cool stuff.
Live dedupe of VHDs is really good. I'm a huge fan of the tiering side of things. I mean, the fact that you can take a 60-tray JBOD and fill it with regular, everyday, high-capacity, relatively cheap spindle hard drives, and then go ahead and add in, you know, 8 to 12 SSDs at a fraction of the cost of performance of having to worry about another solution, have phenomenal IOPS and performance. In my session, I did one where I did a demonstration just off my laptop, completely not supported, but on my laptop to demonstrate how this worked.
Got some USB keys and you...
Well, I was using a spindle external SSD drive, or sorry, HDD drive, and then my own local internal SSD drive. And what I did is I simply had VHD files, VHDX files, located on both sides, brought them inside a VM, which is not supported, but then be able to do the demonstration. I was able to get 42,000 IOPS.
Wow. Off your laptop.
8K reads off my laptop, off of SSD and an HDD tier. Imagine what you can do with real hardware that is supported to be able to do that.
So I guess a lot of our audience here in New Zealand, they know you from the Jumpstart training courses that you do.
Even though they go on at like 2 a.m. down this way, when they go live.
They're recorded, so you can watch them later.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's so much new stuff coming. What's your advice? What's the best way for an IT pro to learn about some of the new capabilities, figure out how they might use them, and actually kind of get their hands on? And what have we got around, you know, training and helping these IT pros learn stuff?
Well, the easiest thing to do is, obviously, the jump starts are live and they do take place at regular scheduled intervals. They are recorded as well, and they appear eventually as a Microsoft virtualacademy.com course. And you can go in and just dive into the one session you wanted to. All the sessions here from Tech Ed New Zealand are all recorded and will be available 24 to 48 hours after they've gone live. So you'll be able to see my sessions and Ben's sessions and your sessions on demand anytime you like on a variety of devices. And then also, obviously, going through and trying out some stuff at our Microsoft Learning Partners. Potentially even if you're with a particular types of accounts, you can go off and try some IT camps. But go off and get the preview bits right now.
Yep.
You can actually get the RTM bits if you happen to have a subscription to MSDN or TechNet to be able to go off and try it in your labs and in your test environments and development environments. And then go off and try to duplicate some of these labs. There's some great walkthroughs that are out there about how to set up all these different technologies.
So tell us the URL again for that.
For which one?
For the MVA?
MVA, very simple, MicrosoftVirtualAcademy.com.
Okay.
And then on there, there's a variety of courses and selection, that sort of stuff, and I'm on there a couple of times doing Server 2012 once. Actually, I was just pinged by the program manager that was asking me if I would do a one-day in-depth storage.
Wow.
And a one-day in-depth networking, a one-day in-depth virtualization one. So those are going to be coming up in the future, and they'll be available as opposed to, you know, just an hour on storage or just an hour on virtualization. So stay tuned for those.
So you know, people recognize you because of your hat. So to wrap this up, you know, why don't you tell us a story about your hat, and tell us your story about your hat and Twitter.
See, the funny thing is, if I'd known you were going to ask me this, there's 3D printers downstairs. I managed to get the guys to scan me with my hat on to be able to have a little mini me feature of me on a 3D printer. So I've got that downstairs. I should have brought that. But I've been wearing this style of hat for well over 25 years or something like that.
It's a Canadian thing.
It's called Tilly from Tilly and Durables. This is a T3 model. But I've had some variant of this hat. And so much so, actually, in Tech Ed North America, people don't recognize me without my hat on. Like, in Tech Ed Australia, I was trying to get some work done, and people were coming in and talking to me and stuff like that. I actually took my hat off and my glasses off, and it's the Clark Kent disguise. You can't tell Superman from Clark Kent when they have the hat and the glasses on. Same thing applies for this. Completely invisible. But someone in Tech Ed North America actually took a photo of my hat, and I now have, the hat has its own Twitter account, Rick's Tilly Hat on Twitter. You can follow it. I have no idea who actually tweets from it, but there's some crazy pictures. He didn't like the travel accommodations I got to get from Australia to New Zealand, either your coach class, so he was crushed under my feet. He wasn't too happy about that, apparently.
So if people do want to follow you on Twitter, what's your real...
So my address that I talk about is RicksterCDN on Twitter. My blog that I blog off of is regularitguy.com. And I do a variety of stuff with Channel 9 all the time as well, with the Edge Show and stuff like that.
So hey, Lord, thanks again for coming down. We really appreciate it. We love having you here.
I'm hoping you're going to invite me back again next
year. Love to have you here next year as well.
I definitely will make plans to come down, because this is a great place to be and awesome event. You guys put on a stellar event.
Thanks, Rick.
Hey, no problem.